Brad Anderson now joins the program, the associate head coach of Southeast Valley Baseball. Coach, good to see you this morning, and glad you didn't have to build an ark to get down here.
Yeah, I was really wondering after last night. We got a lot of rain down in Dayton, and then, of course, we got the call this morning, and Patterson Field is just too wet to play today, so Mother Nature gets two in a row against us.
Yeah, she's undefeated, that Mother Nature.
Can't seem to get her.
You guys were scheduled to take on Southwest Valley in what I have dubbed the Battle of the Valley Classic, and that's not going to happen today with the rain. Not only is the game at Patterson Field for Southeast Valley canceled for today, also the St. Edmund softball tournament that was scheduled over at Harlan Rogers has been canceled as well. So, again, Mother Nature getting a W here. But, you know, we talked about how busy you guys were going to be this week, and with the rain out last night and then the rain out today, that at least does alleviate some of the burden on figuring out what you do with the pitching.
It really did, and I know we went into our Thursday night game really wondering what Saturday or Friday and Saturday were going to look like. So we had our obviously plan set for Friday being a conference game with SEC, but today's game was going to be a little piece together job of a lot of different guys throwing hopefully minimal pitches and just seeing what was going to happen. So I guess that's the bright side of it, but we do have a busy week next week because we did reschedule the SEC game for next Wednesday. We're going to do a doubleheader, so SEC followed by Manson that night.
Wow.
So we're going to have a two-team doubleheader. So,
that's going to be very interesting. And that's not only are those are conference games, and they're also regional rivalry games too. So that's interesting. You talked about kind of piecing it together. There's an old school baseball term called Johnny Holstaff. When you ask who's going to pitch that, Johnny Holstaff is probably going to.
And that's going to be on the hill next week.
So that at least gives you a little time here to save some of the pitch count. Coming into this week. Now, bright side, 5-1 in the last six. You guys are continuing that momentum.
We are. We're playing really good baseball right now. It's starting to click with everybody. I think up and down the lineup, guys are figuring things out. We still got some things to work on, of course, but like I said, we're just improving every day and getting better.
Now, this past week, you started with a game that we had talked a lot about, Newell Fonda on Monday night. You go there, you fall 4-0. Just couldn't put it together and get the timely hits, right?
Their pitcher threw really well. Sam Hansen, our pitcher, threw really well. It was just a pitcher's duel. And I think Sam, when he left the game, actually didn't even give up a hit.
Really?
Yes, but again, walks kind of came back to be a little bugaboo there. But like I said, no hit. And Colson came in, and they snuck a couple. But, I mean, their 4 runs, it probably should have been 2 runs. We gave a couple away trying to make a play and just didn't happen. But again, they ran the table in our conference. They're 11-0 and they definitely deserve it. And they earned that right to be Twin Lakes Conference champions. And I'm just happy we went up there and gave them a battle. And like I said, you never want to lose, but if you're going to lose 4-0, you're going to lose to a good team.
Yeah.
We can respect that.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you kind of mentioned, you know, there's no such thing as a moral victory, but you can always learn in a loss, right?
Yep.
I think you learn more in a loss than you do in a win.
Oh, for sure.
So with that, I think you've learned now that when you guys are dialed in, I mean, you can probably compete with anybody you're going to see.
And we feel like that. We feel like with our pitching staff, we can go in and compete every night defensively. It's just going to be, are our bats working? Are we doing the things there? And we re-recorded the guys this week and showed them their swings and said, here's some adjustments you need to make. You don't make them in the batter's box. You got to make them in pregame when we're doing our hitting in the cage. And you got to do it on the very few practice days we get. And you got to really be dialed in. And here's what you need to work on. And our guys are coming in. They're watching their videos and they're learning. And that's what we ask out of them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too, that you guys have to take the film and turn it around. You know, technology has become such a tool for coaches now that wasn't really, before.
Very recently, in fact, in my career of doing this, I've done this here at Southeast Valley Webster Grand since, 2005. We didn't have iPads videotaping us. We didn't have any of this stuff to do this in the beginning. And now when you're talking to a kid and you're showing them what they're doing wrong, it makes a lot more sense to them. So it's a really nice tool to be able to use and work with our athletes.
Yeah, I think all of us are easier. The adjustments are easier for all of us when they're visual adjustments, when you can see them, as opposed to just kind of talk about them, because then you can visualize what you have to do. Now, after the Newell Fonda game, you fell 4-0. You go to GTRA. put one together there. 10-1 win there. One of those deals where you always wonder, is a loss going to stay with us? Is it going to linger? But it didn't there. You guys were able to come out and take care of business.
Yeah, we came out, and like I said, Colson threw a good game against GTRA on Wednesday. Our offense really got going, too. Actually, Sam Hansen's really been swinging the bat really well. He's hitting the ball out of the ballpark right now, and it's been a big lift to our offense.
Yeah, you just segued me into my next little point here without even knowing you were going to do that, because Coach Anderson and I do not rehearse, I can promise you. You beat Iowa Falls all to 13-12 after that there, and Sam Hansen homered twice in that
yep.
game. You got a nice relief performance in terms of pitching from Justin Loesky there, too, after
yeah.
That, and you guys get four in the bottom of the seventh to win it. Talk to me before we talk about Sam and the way he's hitting the ball. Let's talk a little bit about that game. Just, I mean, back and forth, and you guys win it in the end.
Yeah, and Zach Miller started the game for us. And,
yeah, he did.
And he threw well, you know, and we got him to his pitch count, and then we brought in Drew Correll, who's not had a lot of varsity innings. He came in, he threw pretty well. They hit him a little bit. Like, their seven-hole hitter was, like, 4-for-5 on the night. But we never could put him on because there was bases loaded. And I think he had two doubles, a single, a home run, and he was just on fire. Like, there was nowhere to put him, and he just, wow. You know, they took the lead, and we went into the bottom of the seventh saying, guys, we just got to chip away, do the little things. Colson led off the inning, got to first. Sam came up and hit a shot out to left field, and I'm like, hey, guys, we're right back in it. And then Drew Correll found a way on base, and Hunter Sorensen found a way on base. Both those guys got on base, and kind of like the College World Series, had a couple of pass balls to score us in the bottom of the seventh to take the victory.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So,
that's a high drama affair there.
And it was, like I said, we were really glad we had the last at bat. It was kind of one of those nights you could feel that whoever had the last at bat was probably going to win the game because runs were being scored at a pretty high rate.
Brad Anderson is my guest from Southeast Valley Baseball. That's interesting that you say that because we don't see that with you guys very often where you give up 12 runs. I mean, you guys are usually, your pitching's pretty good, and you're usually holding people to 5-6 at the most.
Yeah, and like I said, Iowa Falls, their record may not show up, but they had seven seniors, a couple of juniors in the starting lineup. So, I mean, those guys have been around the block. They know how to play the game. And we just watched them in pregame going, they are a much better team than what their record shows. And like I said, they played a good ball game. They couple errors here and there, but otherwise it's kind of an offensive explosion, which we're not really used to either.
And even with their record being, you know, subpar, so to speak, there, they've been competitive in a lot of games they've lost, too.
And that's what we noticed, too. I mean, they're right in every game. They're not getting beat 16-0, 15-2. I mean, they're in every ball game. It's 7-5, and they're close ball games with them usually.
That's an interesting out-of-conference game for you guys at this point in the year, I thought.
It is, and we picked them up a few years ago, and they've kind of bounced from the beginning of the season, middle of the season, end of the season around, and we've kind of been going back and forth with them now for a few years. I know last year we went there and it was the same thing. They had the last at bat and they beat us in the bottom of the seventh at their place, so it's kind of nice to return that favor. So it is a good we do like, they got a good coaching staff over there, and we really do enjoy playing them.
Yeah, and it's obviously it's a good challenge, you know, it's competitive games. They're going to come to play when
yep.
you play them, and it's not going to be anything easy. So that works out. Now, you look ahead here, Brant Anderson, my guest from Southeast Valley Baseball. You look ahead to this week. You got a big win a couple of weeks ago against Pocahontas area. We had talked about that game. That's when you can beat them, that always means something.
Yep.
Now, you're going to turn around and play them on Monday, but the venue is even more intriguing than the matchup, Principal Park on Monday. Kind of how did that come about? I know they do host some high school games down there. How did that come about? And that's got to be really exciting for you and your guys, right?
Yeah, and we as a program have tried to go down to Principal Park and play every 2, 3, 4 years just to kind of get a lot of guys an opportunity to play down there. And when Scott Saylor down at Principal Park released the dates, One of the dates happened to be the day we played Pocahontas, so we got a hold of AD and Coach Ruffridge up in Pocahontas right away and said, you guys interested? They said, absolutely, and we got a hold of Principal Park, and they got us on the schedule, and there it was.
See, I didn't know exactly how Principal Park did that, whether they just basically sent dates out that mm-hmm. the park was available, or if they contacted schools to be like, hey, do you guys want to play each other?
Yep, no, they put out available dates, and basically when the Iowa Cubs are gone, they put out those dates, and it happened to work with a team that was willing to go down and play us down there, so we were really happy for the opportunity to get up play down there again. It's been an experience that the guys in our past program that talked about coming back going, oh, Coach, remember going down and playing at Principal Park? Like, yeah, it was a blast, wasn't it? And so it's always a neat experience getting to be in a big league ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a Triple-A park, and that's one where, you know, mom and grandma can take a bunch of pictures. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's a big, memorable deal for guys, for sure. And I'll say this, I've been a lot of places and been around baseball, and there are not a lot of places that I've been where the minor league organization says, hey, yeah, come in and play high school game. It was pretty rare.
Oh, and it's a great experience, right down to they let each school bring in an announcer to announce the game from up top, and we're looking for somebody to run the scoreboard, little things like that. I know I've had past players that ended up playing for me that ran the manual scoreboard out in right field, and they just come and talk about, oh, that was so awesome. I was, you know, I was a little kid, and then now I'm starting first base, you know, a few years later, and it's like just an all-around fun experience.
Yeah.
And the kids from the past talk about it, and I know this group is going to go down there and just really enjoy the experience. I know we're going to head down a little early because there's a game before us. We're going to head down there and just kind of get into the atmosphere and soak it all in and just really enjoy the day.
Well, you've got to adjust a little bit to it. It's a big stage.
Oh, big time.
You don't want guys to, you know, be overwhelmed and that kind of thing. So I think that's probably the smartest thing is to get as much time as you can to adjust to the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, and just kind of being different in the bigger ballpark. It's just a neat experience. It's just something that they're going to really enjoy, hopefully, during the day and just be able to look back on in the future and remember that experience.
Yeah, for sure. Brad Anderson, my guest here from Southeast Valley Baseball. You mentioned that game there at Principal Park with the Pocahontas area. You know, the only the way that this used to kind of work, too, was a precursor for, you know, if you got to the state tournament, you were going to play there anyway, so it's good to get used to the grounds. That's going to be not the case this year because Principal Park won't host this year. It'll be, for you guys, would be Carroll, right?
Yep.
1A and 2A, and then 3A and 4A's in Iowa City.
Correct.
So, that takes that part out of it, but still, I mean, nonetheless, it's a high school program, and do you want to play on a Triple-A park? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
And the thing is, it's not even that bad of a drive. Like, you
it
know,
really isn't.
It's an hour and a little change. Like, it's not even that bad of a drive. So that, I mean, I would drive probably 3 hours for that. You know? So that works out pretty well. Tuesday night, now you're going to take in this whole big grand experience on Monday night. You're going to play Pocahontas area.
Yep.
Always pretty good.
Always good.
And you beat them once, so they're going to be circling the calendar because they don't want to get the season sweep against there. And then you're going to turn around and play Greene County on Tuesday night at home back in Gowrie. And no slight to Gowrie, but your park in Gowrie is not what your park at Principal Park is going to be. How big is this going to be to stay focused and stay locked in from Monday to Tuesday?
I think our kids will do a good job. I mean, we know we have some goals set and things that we want to get accomplished before the end of the year. And you know, the Principal Park will be a fun experience. And the good thing is we play in the afternoon. We'll be done. We'll be home early. And then we'll get an opportunity to kind of get ourselves reset for the week because we look at next week. We have five games in 4 days.
Yeah, because you're
we added the SEC on Wednesday right before Manson, and then you go to that Thursday game in Coon Rapids, and they're always well coached. They're always good. And I know they're a 1A school, but they play bigger than that level.
Some of that doesn't matter.
Not on Coon Rapids, Bayard. I mean, Coach Waddle down there has them. They're every year, and they're good.
So you've got Pocahontas area Monday at Principal Park, Tuesday Greene County at home, Then Wednesday, you've got Manson, Northwest Webster, home, and South Central Calhoun coming in. So that's a double challenge there. Coon Rapids, Baird on Thursday. So, you know, we get by the time we get to the 4th of July weekend, which, by the way, we're not going to have the program next week. We're going to take the weekend off for Independence Day weekend there. But by the time you get to that, you're going to need that.
We're going to need that rest. Yeah. We're going to need that rest for sure. Because, like I said, we're hoping that this – rain is just this 2 days and we can get back into playing baseball every day, because it's sure we're not having we're gonna have like four days in a row without a game. It's gonna be a little bit different for us, so we're gonna be excited to get back out and hitting the ball around. And
now, as I understand it, the playoff brackets for baseball for 1A and 2A will be released sometime early part of next week, right?
Correct. Yeah, we have our pod. They release the pods, and then
right.
We have a Zoom meeting on Sunday at 4
to
hash out our seeds and kind of see how that goes, and then they'll be released early then next week.
Realistically, what are you kind of expecting from a seeding standpoint?
I could see us 3 or 4 right now.
Okay.
Because I kind of feel like Van Meter being the number one ranked team and 2A, that they're probably going to be the number one seed. Woodward, Granger, and ACGC are two other teams that are in that conference. And ACGC did go down and split with Van Meter earlier this week. So where I kind of thought we would be a 3 seed, that might have split us down one to the 4 seed. But we're still hoping for that 3 seed. It'd be nice to host a first-round game.
And how many teams are in your pod?
We have 6 teams in our pod.
Okay. So if you get in the top 3, you're going to host, right?
Yep. Because the 3 seed will host the first-round doubleheader, which would be the 3 versus 6 and the 4 versus 5 seeds.
Okay, and then the 1-2
get a bye.
Okay. So
like I said, it'll be an interesting discussion tomorrow, and we'll just kind of see where we fall into place. And, you know, like I said, you got to beat everybody to get there anyway, so it is nice to host, it is nice to be at home, but yet if we have to go on the road and play, we'll go on the road and play, and we'll just take them as they come and give it our best shot.
Well, and here's the deal. I think that you, right now, the way you're playing, I think you have to feel pretty good about it. That really doesn't matter. Any game you play, I think you feel good about where you're at right now going in.
And we really do, and like I said, Sam Hansen right now, he keeps up pitching the way he's been pitching. I feel confident going up against really anybody, as long as our bats will come with us. Colson Cruz, same thing when he's on the mound. Rhett Granfield on the mound. Those three, our upperclassmen, are doing a really nice job. We got Zach Miller, who's getting a ton of experience right now. And then even Drew and Carell and Justin Lowski, who've come on and pitched a little bit. Like I said, we don't anticipate having to use them in the postseason. But again, you just never know what's going to happen in the postseason. But like I said, we really feel with our top 4 pitchers, we feel, like I said, defensively we're going to be in the game. Offensively, can we stay with it?
And, you know, in theory, when you get in the playoffs, you're playing less games than what you're playing in the regular season. So, in theory,
yep,
you could shorten the rotation,
yep,
and highlight the guys at the top of the rotation a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, and we're going to definitely keep an eye on those pitch counts and see how the game's going and progressing and see what we can do to try to keep everybody available for every night.
Brad Anderson, Southeast Valley Baseball, has been my guest here. Coach, I appreciate you braving the rain here to be here this morning.